1-800-205-6245. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Good morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, as usual, on Friday this time, Andrew Skousen, and we're going to summarize world affairs brief, the issues that are taking place. Go right ahead, Andrew. Why don't you bring us up to date on what's going on?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, the stories this week in the brief are about the Ukraine, about China following Russia's lead, then Rand Paul on the stump. We have comment on the sexual predator army general who was let off easy. And then we delve into Fred Phelps, noting how it seems he's a tool of the establishment and the devil. But to start off, Ukraine's east-west conflict moves into stage two. While the West is focused upon the Ukraine conflict, there are actually two equally coordinated thrusts recently by Russia and China targeting U.S. and NATO world dominance. The first was Putin, who made his first successful move in Eastern Europe by taking back the first of the former Soviet states, Crimea. And second, China, which is beginning her power play aimed at dominating the first chain of islands to her east. Someday China intends to take everything from Japan down through Australia. It's important to watch both of these future enemies as Russia and China have a coordinated global strategy to attack the West on two fronts. Scholl says, I admit that the initiation of this two-pronged thrust by Russia and China has begun sooner than I expected. And although economic and political factors will still delay the actual world war for several years, I will discuss what this recent move means for future timing. He says, Hitler was a far less patient predator than either Russia or China, which is typical of Eastern philosophy and thought that seemed to plan strategic moves decades in advance. Hitler, in contrast, moved directly to war in only about a year's time, September of 1938 to September of 1939, from his taking control of the Czech Sudetenland and Austria to the Polish invasion. This rapid movement gave him the element of surprise and didn't allow the Allies to react quickly enough to stop him. Thinking the Russians and Chinese would delay showing their hand until everything was ready for their big move, I was a bit surprised, he said, to see Putin make his play in Ukraine several years in advance of Russia's optimal military preparedness timing for war with the West. Of course, he was facing a growing anti-Russian rebellion in Ukraine that was legitimate, even if aided by Western intervention. Perhaps he had to move now while he could still manipulate the outcome with his paid opposition leaders. Putin's early move on a former Soviet could either mean that war might come sooner than expected, or that the process of fomenting a war will take longer than in World War II. I still don't think Russia's ready to go to full-scale war yet. From a big picture point of view, while it is true that Russia is more advanced militarily than Hitler ever was leading up to World War II, Russia's enemies in the West are also far more advanced than Britain was in both quantity and sophistication of war machines, so they are not any better at exerting a will to deter. The West has always been lulled into promises of peace, especially when their leaders harbor a globalist wish for war, but don't want to get the blame for it. Russia knows she needs a lot more military might before taking on the West, and also needs more time to develop the rationale or justification for war in this age when people naively don't believe a world war could ever happen, let alone a nuclear holocaust, after the ruse of the Cold War nuclear threat appears to be diffused. China has also yet to be ready to back up any Russian move, and it's too early for that, although it's getting closer. Could the Ukraine situation suddenly get worse enough to provoke a military invasion of eastern Ukraine, meaning with regular Russian forces, triggering treaty obligations between the West and Ukraine? this is only possible right now. Third, the West would have to contest this invasion with a full military counterstrike. This is unlikely. When Ukraine, as part of the slowly fall of the Soviet Union, gave up its nuclear weapons in 1994, it gained security guarantees with the West as part of the Budapest Memorandum of Security Assurances. Between the U.S., Britain, and Russia, they pledged to respect Ukraine territorial integrity, a pledge that was broken by Russia in its recent takeover of Crimea. But there is one major factor that can provide an excuse for both parties so this does not rise to a major war: that Crimea was originally part of Ukraine. Crimea had its own semi-autonomous parliament after it was annexed undemocratically to Ukraine by Stalin in 1954. Thus, the Crimean Gambit can be effectively dismissed as not being a crucial violation of Ukrainian sovereignty. In fact, that compromise has already been reached on both sides. Despite the war talk, Putin smartly induced his lackeys in Crimea to put this up for a vote of the people, so it met all the requirements of a democratic choice. And that also made the U.S. and NATO look bad, even hypocritical relative to our history of allowing people to declare their independence when we oppose this result of the will of the Crimean people. With a touch of political finality, Putin declared Crimea an independent sovereign state, and the Russian Duma has voted to allow Crimea to join the Russian Federation. Further, as an indication of Ukraine's acceptance of the new status quo, Ukraine has given up any military bases in Crimea without a fight. Well, there was one suspiciously staged and minor fight between pro-Russian, quote-unquote, militia and lightly armed Ukrainian employees at a Ukrainian naval base, but the Ukrainians just walked out with their belongings. Clearly not a real war. In short, Crimea was an obvious and easy choice for Russia's first move in luring the former Soviet state back into the Russian Federation. Its people, except the original Tatars, are overwhelmingly Russian in orientation and language. It's important to note from a PR point of view that everything Russia has done in Crimea has been done with quote-unquote irregular forces, so that if push comes to shove, Putin can claim it wasn't really the Russian military in there. Of course, we all know it was Russian special forces and their unique military vehicles and automatic weapons. But they often wore masks and had taken off all insignias showing their unit designation. Forget about all the bluster of last week's news about Ukraine moving troops and equipment toward Crimea. There never was any intent to contest this.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with Andrew Scott.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs: long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
All right, go ahead.
Yes,
Mr. Ten. Oh, no, go right ahead, please. Go ahead.
All right. So forget about all the bluster of last week's news about Ukraine moving troops and equipment toward Crimea. There never was any intent to contest this secession of Crimea. Ukraine's quick decision to pull out all troops from Crimea following the seizure of military bases, including the Ukrainian Navy headquarters in the Black Sea port of Sevastopol, indicates that there was no intent to pick a fight over this. Even the capture of the commander of the Ukrainian Navy, Admiral Sergei Hajduk, by militia backed by masked gunmen, was staged for political purposes. Though everyone locally knows the captures were really Russian special forces, Kiev is demanding that Crimea's pro-Moscow leaders release him or face an quote-unquote adequate response. He was released 6 hours later, so the show goes on and a fight never ensues. Most importantly, as I pointed out last week, Joel says, Russia doesn't have an excuse to escalate the Ukraine conflict to a world war unless the U.S. and NATO intervene militarily. So far, it's all been talk and no action on the part of the U.S. and NATO, and running drills and joint military exercises is not action, just more political theater. Summing up, the rhetoric is much harsher than the reality and will likely continue to be so. Take this typical commentary by Haaretz on the Ukrainian ambassador's claim before the UN, for example. Quote, Russia may be preparing a further military incursion to Ukrainian territory. Ukraine's ambassador to the United Nations in Geneva, Yuri Klimenko, told UN diplomats at a briefing on the human rights situation in Ukraine on Thursday. Quote, there are indications that Russia is on its way to unleash a full-blown military intervention in Ukraine's east and south, Klimenko said. His statement was widely supported by other ambassadors, but challenged by a Russian diplomat who read a prepared statement justifying Russia's actions so far, end quote. This claim has no substance in fact. There are no large massings of Russian troops on the border with eastern or southern Ukraine, although Russia is planning on moving more personnel into bases in the Crimea to make sure that secession is not reversed. Continuing the quote, Klimenko also said that Ukraine will not initiate a trade war with Russia and hopes to use the World Trade Organization to resolve any such disputes initiated by Russia. We are very much interested in having normal trade relations with Russia, Yuri Klimenko said, adding that he expected Russia to restrict trade in the wake of its annexation of Crimea, end quote. Those are not sentiments indicative of a coming world war. They are instead a plea for business as usual, which you will find typical of this new administration in Ukraine. They are only feigning to be in the West camp in order to gain more money and military assistance from the West. Joel says, I will remind readers that my unique analysis of this Ukraine crisis is that it was a phony coup, that only the pro-Russian leadership in Ukraine could have ordered the Berkut, the riot police, and the regular police forces to stand down and let the opposition take over. Only the pro-Russian leaders behind the scenes could have ordered the Russian-controlled Party of Regions to switch sides and vote for Yanukovych's ouster. It was a staged coup, just like the phony fall of the Soviet Union. So far, no one else in the West except me seems to be calling it this way. What this phony coup means is that as long as the Russians control the visible opposition leaders, there will not be any real fighting between Ukraine and Russia. And that's why I don't think Russia is going to invade eastern Ukraine in the near term. I predict that in this second stage, however, they will continue to drum up public protest and unrest in the Russian-speaking areas of eastern Ukraine, demanding independence sometime in the future. But because this region is formerly part of Ukraine, Russia will have to move more slowly than in Crimea, where it had already had major military interests. This second stage of the Ukraine crisis is where I see Putin slowing down, allowing for more time to continue his military preparations while allowing the Ukraine situation to fester toward a future intervention. Meanwhile, the larger diplomatic and economic battles will emerge as the primary focus in the near term. Token sanctions, and they are almost laughably minor, and counter-sanctions are being hurled back and forth between Russia and the U.S., and Europe is trying to evade them at all costs. The sanctions Obama is trumpeting to the world are aimed merely at 20 Russians in Putin's inner circle who can be treated as quote-unquote bad guys, but nothing against Russian trade itself. Russia countered with sanctions against 9 U.S. officials, barring them from entering Russia, including House Speaker John Boehner, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, and Senator John McCain, which is utterly meaningless. They aren't traveling to Russia anyway, so what difference does it make? Europe has the most to lose in the sanctions game and is backpedaling as fast as its leaders can while claiming to still be tough on Russia. Europe, as you all know by now, is highly dependent not only on Russian natural gas, but Russian oil and fuel products for transportation. France, which is supplying Russia with several high-tech Mistral-class warships, is reassuring its defense industry that it's still, quote, business as usual with Russia. Sorry, quote-unquote, business as usual with Russia. Americans, for their part, have little stomach for more U.S. involvement in European matters, as indicated by a recent poll by Pew Research. Crossing party lines, it indicates that most feel that the U.S. should not get too involved in Ukraine. Quote, half of Republicans say it's more important for the United States not to get too involved. Just 37% think the U.S. should take a firm stand against Russian action. Those who say it is more important for the U.S. taking a firm stand against Russian actions in Ukraine were asked if the U.S. should consider military options or only political and economic options. Most of this group, 19% of the public overall, said the U.S. should consider only political and economic options in addressing the situation, while just 8% of the public think that military options should be considered. Just 16% of Republicans and smaller shares of Democrats and Independents, 5% each, say that military options should be considered. Gary North comments that this is good news for Putin, but it's bad news for the Council on Foreign Relations. He's referring to the globalists and their warmongering agenda. But his most important commentary is about Americans' historical aversion to intervention in others' affairs. He says, quote, before a military conflict involving the USA, non-intervention is the permanent condition of the American people. This does not change. This is why the government needs an occasional Pearl Harbor for Americans to get behind the next war. Joel comments, all the Pearl Harbors of which are attacks provoked or done by U.S. black ops to justify war. Continuing, Gary North's quote, the foreign policy establishment needs saber rattling from time to time, and these days it is clear that there is nothing in America's interest that justifies rattling sabers, end quote. But that won't stop them from creating more conflict. Western globalists are content to allow the Russian ruse to go forward, as both the West and the East want the tension that the pro-Russian Ukrainian opposition, feigning friendship with the West, can provide. Joel says, I predict that the sanctions will continue to escalate, but not in ways that seriously affect trade between East and West. The West, for example, threatened to oust Russia from the G8, but Europe is now denying that. Get used to hearing various different factions in the EU go back and forth on their stories, as happened this week when various French officials contradicted each other on the Russian G8 membership. But in the end, it will be business as usual for a few more years. Meanwhile, another little ex-Soviet mini-state is longing to get back into the Soviet Union as well. This from Business Week. Quote, Transdniester, a tiny self-proclaimed, quote, independent republic, end quote, wedged between Moldova and Ukraine, has a hammer and sickle on its flag, a parliament called the Supreme Soviet, a Soviet Senate national anthem praising the friendship of peoples, and about 200,000 Russians out of a total population of 510,000. Following Crimea's annexation, it also decided to join the Russian Federation. Don't laugh. The Russian parliament will take up their petition next week. But the issue of Ukraine aid, sorry, that was an end of the quote, and then Joel says, "Don't laugh. The Russian parliament will take up their petition next week." But the issue of Ukraine aid is an essential part of this conflict, just as increased economic aid and trade with Russia was a principal reason for the Soviets to fake their own demise. This week, Senator Marco Rubio stopped his opposition to the Ukraine aid bill in Congress, which is typical of Rubio, who plays to the right wing, but always switches sides to the globalist when it really matters. The Democrats added into the aid bill approval of IMF reform, which would not only double national quotas for our involvement with the IMF, but erode U.S. and EU voting power as well. This is all part of the future globalist monetary system that they will eventually enforce upon all nations, and it deserves to be watched. Well, Dr. Stan, the next story is about China, who is following Russia's lead. Mark Faber of the Gloom and Doom Report is respected in many circles, despite the eccentric title to his financial newsletter. But not really aware of the globalist conspiracy to create war, he does see that the Ukraine crisis and Putin's success will provide increased impetus for China, which is intending to do the same in its own strategic backyard. He says, quote, "Mr. Putin did the right thing from his perspective. By that I mean that there was interference by foreign powers in Ukrainian politics," Joel says, "which was minor compared to Russian control of the phony opposition." Continuing the quote, "that were unfavorably from the perspective of Russia. Crimea is strategically most important for Russia. It has practically no meaning strategically to the United States or to Europe, but for Russia it's very important." Joel inserts, "that's a given. It's Russia's only real warm water port for its fleet. But all of the quote-unquote interests of Russia are ultimately aggressive, not defensive." Faber then tends to agree with me on the next point. Quote, "I don't think that Russia will move further into Ukraine unless there is serious provocation, which I doubt will happen. But I think the wider implication is that we have now borderline. In other words, the U.S. would intervene if a foreign power would establish bases in Haiti and in Cuba and so forth and so on. And the Chinese will react if foreign powers threaten Chinese access to resources. This is very important because the occupation of Crimea moving to Russia gives essentially a signal to China that one day they can also move and seize some territory that they perceive as belonging to them," end quote. Joel says it's more than what China perceives belongs to them. China has a stepping stone strategy, and taking the disputed islands away from Japan, the Philippines, and Vietnam is a probing exercise to test U.S. resolve, a resolve the West does not have because its globalist overlords want a future conflict with China, and to drive the rest of us into their future New World Order. Faber also had some cogent remarks about the declining Chinese economy, which he said, quote, "If I look at export figures from China, and they are very closely correlated to overall economic growth, then there is a huge discrepancy between what China reports and what China's trading partners are reporting. So which figures are more reliable? I think the figures of the trading partners of China are more reliable, and they would suggest that growth has slowed down considerably." Joel says, "There was another story out this week about how many of China's wealthy who bought expensive high-rise real estate in Hong Kong are now selling those at steep discounts. Apparently, they are hungry for cash, which is another sign that the bubble is beginning to deflate in China. Don't expect a collapse, however. This is compounded by the high degree of unreported inflation in China as the government prints more money to keep favored corporations afloat." Faber continues, quote, "The fact is simply that Chinese stocks have been just about the worst performing stock since 2006. Now analysts will dismiss that and say everything is perfect in China, but the stock market does not seem to believe everything the government is saying about the economy. And clearly there are strength signs in the Chinese economy. In particular, as I said, we have this huge explosion of debt. Debt as a percent of GDP has increased in the last 5 years by more than 50%. Total debt is now over 215% of GDP, and a lot of it is trade finance that is being rolled over. Because China is a large importer of resources, in other words, iron ore, copper, zinc, etc., And at the same time, they are a huge exporter to commodity producers of their own manufactured goods, as well as Korean exports.
Hang on there, Andrew. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Andrew Skelton, right here at the American Student Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Hydro Resources Rocky Mountain reminds us that crystal meth is a problem that affects the entire family. It ruins lives, breaks hearts and homes, and destroys childhood dreams. Parents, make a resolution this year to talk to your kids about drug abuse. It may be the most important decision you make. And that important reminder is brought to you by John Tyler and the family and staff at Hydro Resources Rocky Mountain at 13027 County Road in Fort Lupton. For more information, call 303-857-4171. Hydro Resources Rocky Mountain. Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply in Fort Collins is proud of our military. We thank you and your families for the sacrifices you've made. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return. May God bless America. This message is from Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply, 3507 East Mulberry Street in Fort Collins, with a large variety of rental handguns for their shooting range, offering classes and serving gun enthusiasts for over 25 years, Colorado's largest gun safe dealer. They're on the air, proudly saluting our troops.
Ladies, are you wanting a deeper connection between your relationship with God and your health? More control over managing your own health? To keep you and your family healthy naturally and economically? More vibrant energy for the things that are important to you? Join me, Master Herbalist and Nutritional Consultant Julie Formby, for a walk through the ancient scriptures on the third Wednesday of each month from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KHNC. Each show is based on my seminar series called Back to Biblical Health for Women. And together, we will explore a variety of health topics from a holistic and biblical perspective, all targeted specifically toward women and restoring your new vitality. As my free gift to you, I would like to offer a taste of what Back to Biblical Health for Women is all about. Download a free introductory copy of my ebook at www.yournewvitality.com/radio. That's www.yournewvitality.com/radio. And don't forget to join me on the third Wednesday of each month from 1 to 2 p.m.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, from World Affairs Brief. And Andrew, before we go on, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Joel, how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and keep up on a weekly basis with what's really going on.
Certainly, thank you. The best way is for people to go on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. It's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And it's very easy to sign up for the brief. It's a big button and a short process to create an account there. There's a modest fee for a yearly subscription. And people also get access to all the previous World Affairs Briefs in our archives off the website. Even if people don't want to sign up for a brief, it's worth visiting the website occasionally, as we are always updating the website with links to news stories that we think are important to supplement people's news browsing. They can also find a link there to our other website, joelskousen.com, which lists all of Joel's works, the most popular of which is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. I think this book is very popular right now because it it highlights all of the real threats facing us. It doesn't just tell you where to relocate to get the best golf courses and sunshine days, but it lists all of the major threats facing us and then highlights some of the areas of the U.S. that will not be hit as hard by these coming catastrophes and hard times. Once people find a retreat site or work out some arrangements for getting there in hard times, they will want to get one of our other two books to build up their secure site. One of these other books is called The Secure Home, which is a 700-page book that outlines everything about securing a new residence or remodeling an existing house to be more secure. It also includes ideas and plans about alternate energy systems and what's more important out there, what's not. There's a huge list at the end of recommended products and systems. For people that want to do something more on a small scale, we have a smaller booklet out there entitled The High Security Shelter, How to Implement a Multi-Purpose Safe Room in the Home. And this small book is our most recently updated book, and it has details and plans for a do-it-yourself project to convert a single room, preferably in the basement, into your own high security shelter that will provide security and a strong enclosed area using cinder block and reinforcement to give you protection from all kinds of difficulties that could arise, and protect you and your loved ones, as well as most of your supplies, everything that you can fit in the small room, and keep them all safe during a crisis. So all of these books are out there meant to help people prepare for hard times. And like I say, they're available via our website, joelskousen.com. If people want to call in, those are also available from you at Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and we believe that there is going to be a crisis. We believe that people should prepare for it, and we hope that they'll get the book. And how soon it's coming, I don't know. But I personally believe that God is going to bring his judgment on America, because America has turned against the God of the Bible. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Sam. Well, just finishing up this part about China and the state of their economy, if we're quoting Mark Faber, who says, if the Chinese economy slows down, commodity prices, industrial commodity prices, are likely to remain under pressure. They already have come down a lot, but they will remain under pressure, and the resource providers have less money. In other words, the Brazilian market will go into recession. The Middle East does not grow as much as before. Central Asia, Africa, and so forth all contract. And then they buy less from China, and you have a vicious cycle on the downside. In addition to that, there are lots of funny deals. A friend of mine who analyzes China very carefully, Simon Hunt, pointed out that the trade finance between one state-owned enterprise and a private company has amounted to over $5 trillion by continuing to roll over the same collateral several times. There's lots of funny things that are happening in China. And when the whole thing unwinds, it will be a disaster, end quote. Joel says, at its core, the Chinese economy is under pressure because international demand for its products is declining as the West, the consumers at least, continue to unwind their reliance on debt-based spending. Government has seen only slight declines in the growth rates of debt and deficit spending, but they are still increasing. That means that China will have to make do with less economic growth to fund its militarization, since it doesn't have oil resources to sell, such as does Russia. But China has a pretty hard timetable for military growth, and that's why she is resorting to more internal inflation to keep the government and military sector growing. Militarizing the faltering economy is what dictatorships do. And we can expect that to happen this year, as well as at least one major military incursion in the Far East. The Philippines is the most likely target since the Philippine Army and Navy is set for a small showdown with their small military presence on the Spratly Islands. We're now switching over to frustration over media and government claims regarding Malaysian Flight 370. I'm sure most of you are shared in my frustration when I try to come to any definitive conclusions over the fate of Malaysian Flight 370. In my initial coverage, Joel says, I relied upon the claims of various experts and government sources that have not turned out to be unreliable or false. As I've analyzed the problem at its core, it is that no one tells us specifically how they came to the conclusions they draw. It's not enough to report that, quote, sources say the radar data shows, end quote. Rather, they should show us the data graphically and let us decide ourselves. But, of course, all of the specifics are always classified. One exception is that the British satellite company, Inmarsat, found the jet continued to transmit signals for hours after it lost contact with air traffic control. The company explained how there is no question the signals were from Flight 370. Quote, just like a cell phone, each piece of equipment has its own SIM card and its own registration number, end quote, the company explained. If the plane had crashed, those pings would have stopped. So while that tells us it did flew on, it doesn't say anything about which direction or how the flight ended, whether it ran out of fuel, crashed, or landed in secret somewhere. U.S. experts tell us they have data showing that the plane turned around and was following a new course even before the last radio communication, which sounded perfectly calm and normal. By implication, that would lead to the suspicion of pilot collusion in this experience. But again, they never tell us how they know that information.
We're going to a break. We'll be back talking about the Malaysian flight that disappeared, what happened, getting all sorts of conflicting information designed to confuse. We'll be right back.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Avoid being bitten by the cold and flu bug by increasing your body's own defense system. Call me, Julie Formby, Certified Master Herbalist, for a free 15-minute phone consult and save 20% off three powerful products that protect you against colds, flu, bacterial infections, viral outbreaks, and will drive down fevers. Your free New Vitality consult and a 20% product discount is for a limited time. Call 970-203-9540. That's 970-203-9540.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card. Visit www.greencleanfood.com. That's greencleanfood.com.
You're invited to join the Beth Messiah Congregation and celebrate Passover 2014 on Monday, April the 14th, at the Ramada Plaza Hotel in North Glen. You have your choice of a delicious lamb or turkey entree. Adults are $36, children 9 through 12 are $20, children 6 through 9 are $18, and children under 5 are free. Deadline for making your reservations is Friday, April the 4th. Call 1-800-205-6245 and make your reservation for Passover now. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, back with Andrew Skousen for the last segment of our program. Andrew, pick up the story.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Well, we're just talking about how the experts could have known that Malaysian Flight 370 turned before the last radio communication. This seems to be a clear consensus in the news, although the experts once again have refused to tell us the details of why they know that this airplane turned at that point. Something that, like that could only be known if some kind of satellite received specific information indicating that, since there was no radar reception at that point in the flight plan. The ACARS system, which monitors airline systems, was reportedly not transmitting all of this kind of information, and so Joel says something like that could only be known if the ACARS system was sending a fairly full range of automatic messages, including navigation information from the flight data computer. This conflicts, of course, with last week's report from various sources, all saying, Reuters included, that no data links were opened because the companies involved had not subscribed to that level of service from the satellite operator. So why don't any media people who report things follow up and ask, does Malaysia Airlines subscribe to the ACARS data link or not, or to what part? Perhaps the experts were referring to the fact that Malaysia does not buy the Swift brand of software that allows the ACARS system to transmit data even if turned off. Who knows? The authorities can't even keep their own stories straight. For instance, first American quote-unquote experts said the plane changed flight path before the last calm communication. Then the Malaysian government muddies the waters by saying, quote, on Saturday, Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak said that investigators had reliable information that someone on the plane had deliberately disabled communication systems before the plane landed. Furthermore, investigators said that it would have taken someone with pilot training to be able to switch off the aircraft and communications addressing and reporting system, ACARS. This system automatically sends engine data and other information to the airline. Yet Malaysian officials retracted the ACARS theory on Monday. They believe ACARS was still functioning when the plane's co-pilot spoke the last words heard from MH370 by ground control. ACARS lost function around the same time oral radio contact was cut off and as the plane's transponder halted, the Times reported. End quote. Joel says, sounds like someone is trying to match story versions with the Americans. As someone who has a good sense for logic and reason and no small experience as a pilot, Joel says, I think I'm capable of sorting out what happened if I could get a hold of how the experts are coming to the conclusions they claim. But we get very little of that. There were lots of conspiracy theories floating around the web, new conspiracy theories this week. There was a satellite image found by a Taiwanese amateur that seemed to show a white-painted, undamaged plane in the jungle. But there was no damage path which a plane would have to make coming down in the jungle. Turns out it was showing an airliner in flight over the jungle and not on the ground among the trees, so this was no help at all. By the way, how does a Taiwanese student have real-time access to military-grade satellites anyway? He doesn't, so this is probably a dated commercial satellite image, like the ones Google Earth publishes, which are months, if not years, old. Speaking of satellites, the Malaysians want to know why Australia doesn't show the satellite images from their Pine Gap NSA satellite listening station. Of course, Australia says it isn't holding anything back, but naturally, what they know is all under NSA control. There are no better satellite imagery in the world than what can be had by the U.S. We keep being frustrated by blurry satellite images from China, and now today's Australian image that claimed to show debris, sending ships off on a chase that turned up nothing. There were also reports of villagers in Malaysia reportedly seeing a flight at low altitude, and residents of a tiny island in the Maldives say they saw an airliner flying low close by. While some reporters took the time to check and see if any other commercial flights were present at that time, which they said there were not, it only leaves us with another conflicting visual sighting. Joel says, I'm still amazed that no one in the media has taken the time and expense to go out to the oil rig to interview Mike McKay, the only verifiable person who claims he saw the plane in flames at cruise altitude. Quote, ABC's Bob Woodford confirmed with McKay's employers that the email is real. If what McKay witnessed was actually Flight 370, it would disprove reports that the flight changed course and disappeared over the Strait of Malacca. Joel says, so at least the guy is real. But, of course, the only official reaction was, quote, Vietnamese officials sent a plane to the area to investigate the man's claims, but the search was fruitless, Naval Officer Lee Min Han told ABC News, end quote. Chol says, of course it was futile, trying to nail down a patch of ocean under a plane sighting 50 to 75 kilometers away is ridiculous, even if you didn't talk to the witness first, especially if you didn't talk to the witness first. And who is to say the airplane didn't keep flying for a little while? One of the most likely scenarios that explains both the different times at which the radio stopped communicating and the ACRS system that kept sending was an in-flight electrical fire, which could have been big enough to be visible by Mike McKay if caused by a small bomb so the flames got outside the aircraft. The plane wouldn't necessarily come down with certain types of electrical fire. Chris Goodfellow, a pilot, makes this case, quote, for me, the loss of transponders and communications makes perfect sense in a fire. And there most likely was an electrical fire. In the case of a fire, the first response is to pull the main buses and restore circuits one by one until you have isolated the bad one. If they pulled the buses, the plane would go silent. It probably was a serious event, and the flight crew was occupied with controlling the plane and trying to fight the fire. They trained pilots to, quote, aviate, navigate, and lastly, communicate. There are two types of fires. An electrical fire might not be as fast and furious, and there may or may not be incapacitating smoke. However, there is a possibility, given the timeline, that there was an overheat on one of the front landing gear tires. Perhaps it blew on takeoff and started slowly burning. This happens with underinflated tires. Remember, heavy plane, hot night, sea level, long run, takeoff. There has been one well-known accident in Nigeria of a DC-8 that had a landing gear fire like this on takeoff. Once going, a tire fire would produce horrific incapacitated smoke. Pilots have access to oxygen masks, but this is a no-no with fire. Most have access to a smoke hood with a filter.
All right, time, Andrew. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next week at the same time right here at the American Freedom Network.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older?
When I grow up,
I want a subprime loan. I never want the opportunity to own a home.
When I grow up,
I want the dollar to be worth less. I only want one bank to choose from.
When I grow up,
I still want to be living with my parents into my 30s. I want to be paid less to do a tougher job.
When I grow up,
I want a brown nose from being a yes man. I want to be loaded with student debt.
When I grow up,
I only want to be a part-time employee so I can participate in Obamacare.
Don't let this be your child's future. Eventually, you have to grow up. Preserve and ensure your wealth today. Call the Patriot Trading Group. Gold and silver buying made easy. 800-951-0592. Or go to our website at allamericangold.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, and I feel we're in a very difficult time. I believe America has turned against God. I believe God is going to turn against America. I believe that people should begin making preparations for the very difficult times that lie ahead. And certainly one of the things you can do is get Joel Skousen's books. We do carry them on strategic relocation, on building a secure home, on building a secure room. You can get them by calling 1-800-951-0592. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. How do you understand what's going on today? Well, we're involved in a spiritual battle. And if you haven't read my book, you need to get it, Brotherhood of Darkness. And if you'd like to distribute the book, why, we can give you a very good rate on it. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for Brotherhood of Darkness. We also carry a CD set on the supernatural. We carry a 4-CD set. The hidden dangers, Constant Companies for CD set, and you can simply call 1-800-544-8927. It's called the Aquarian Conspiracy. But you need to understand that although we fight on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, the real battlefield is a spiritual battlefield. And there really are supernatural forces there. And their goal is a one-world government. And that is the goal of the people who control the United States. And they are using the power of our country to bring about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and to destroy Christianity. And they're doing a good job of destroying Christianity in America today. That's why they took God and prayer and Ten Commandments out of our schools. They've infiltrated the religious seminaries, both Catholic and Protestant. And then, of course, why they've changed the music and the message of the Protestant Church and the Catholic Church. Of course, basically, this is why they have satanic chapters there at the highest levels of the Vatican. This is why they have pedophile rings at the highest levels of the Vatican. And this is why everything seems to be changing and changing dramatically. And so many people just say, well, you've got to get involved politically, and you do need to get involved politically. But you need to understand this is a spiritual battle being fought on the political and ideological battlefield. To get the information you need, go to our website at radioliberty.com. You want to get our items. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our webpage, radioliberty.com. You can get a list of all the items we carry, or if you'd like a free catalog, call us at 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to get it for you. But we do need your help maintaining our network of stations out across America. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, and get our monthly newsletter, get our four best CDs of the month, or get the various items that we do carry. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We suggest you go to our website, radioliberty.com. All sorts of interesting things there. There's a section on things around the Internet right at the very top of the page. Just click on it. You'll go to the section, and we post all sorts of interesting things there almost on a daily basis, and things that I read that I think are significant. So remember, it's radioliberty.com, and then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. Our number, 1-800-544-8927.